To Kay and Coraline. 1. For 3 straight nights, Zoe dreamed about the black dog. It followed her through the empty streets of a strange city, trailing after her but never getting quite close enough to be threatening. It just watched. The funny thing was that these dreams weren't like regular ones. She was almost never alone when she dreamed, because Valentine was always there. But there was something different about the black dog dreams, something that made her not want to talk about them. Zoe had plenty of secrets in the real world, but she'd never kept one in her dreams before. It was depressing because it meant that, in the end, she wasn't safe anywhere. The elevator wasn't working again. Zoe sighed and started the long walk up 4 floors. The stairway smelled of mildew and other people's cooking. When she made it to the top, a little out of breath, she fumbled in her pockets for the keys and let herself into the new apartment. It was her least favorite moment of the day. Zoe didn't hate the new apartment, it just made her miserable. There were scrapes on the walls and floors from the previous tenant's furniture, a splotchy, stained rug in the hall, and black mold around the bathroom window. Her room was smaller than the one she'd had back at the old house. Her old window had faced a green backyard with almond trees and low hills. The window in her new room faced the back of a rundown hardware store. "It's not forever, dear," Zoe's mother reminded her. 6 months, a year at the most, until we get the insurance straightened out." Zoe nodded, not looking at her. 6 months, she thought. Wasn't it a year already? No, half that. Only a few weeks for the world to collapse and leave them stranded in the middle of nowhere. So, another 180 days to go. Or double that. How much more lost can we get? She piled a couple of pillows on the bed, which was squeezed into the corner of the room. From her overnight bag, she removed a stuffed Batsmaru and leaned him against the pillows. The worn doll had been a gift from her father on her 10th birthday. 6 years later, it still had an honored spot at the head of her bed. For a long minute, Zoe pretended that she didn't know her mother was standing in the doorway trying to think of something to say. It was another one of those days. All afternoon, she'd felt angry or sad or both at once, and guilty for feeling any of it. She shouldn't be so attached to the old house, her school, and her friends. She should be bigger than that and hated that she wasn't. "We'll get past this," said her mother. Knowing she shouldn't even ask, Zoe said, "Can I use the phone?"
"Zoe,
I won't call anyone. I just want to check my email." Her mother looked at the floor. "It's the end of the month. I'm already over our data limit, and the few talk minutes left I need to keep for finding work. Can't you use the computer at the library?" "What library? There aren't any around here. I checked," Zoe said. It was a lie. She hadn't checked because she didn't want to know. Before they'd even moved to the city, she'd taken Bart to the library at the San Francisco Civic Center a few times, but gave up going a month earlier. A homeless guy followed her to a reading table where he thumbed through a newspaper. It wasn't a big deal. A smelly guy always followed her when she went in. It wasn't until the man's breathing changed and she realized he was masturbating under the table that she left and never went back. She suspected any library in their rundown neighborhood, the Tenderloin, would be like that, or maybe worse. Throw in a few crackheads with the homeless.
"What about school? Don't they have one you can use?"
Zoe shook her head. "The server's dead and the school doesn't have the money to get it fixed." Zoe's mother leaned against the doorframe, her arms crossed in front of her. "Please don't ask about the other phone," Zoe thought. It was too humiliating to admit that the cheap prepaid phone her mother had given her had been stolen from her bag on the bus. Zoe had almost taken one from a Radio Shack on Market Street. The phones were right by the door. She could grab one and run. But she didn't have the guts.
"I'm sorry. Next week, I promise," said her mother.
"It's okay.
Zoe said. She smiled and the effort made her stomach knot. It's no big deal.
Sorry,
said her mother softly. I know. Zoe started folding clothes she'd piled on the end of her bed. A couple of minutes later, she heard her mother unpacking things in the kitchen. She sat on the edge of her bed, wanting to cry but not letting herself. The tears she held back weren't about sadness. She'd been through that already in the days leading up to her father's funeral 6 months ago. The tears that threatened to come now were made up of anger and fear and something else. Something deeper and darker and more forever feeling, but Zoe couldn't find a name for it. All she knew was that not talking made not crying easier, and not crying was all that held the world together. That was enough for now.